Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Tuesday morning, so we are talking about getting healed, becoming whole, complete, and entire. Spirit, soul, and body. Our blog site and links to the other resources we have are at wecanprepare.org, and you can reach me at diane@wecanprepare.org. All that information is available on the Blog Talk Radio profile page for We Can Prepare or Prepare Radio, but I know that these broadcasts and these podcasts are going out there quite extensively, and I certainly appreciate you sharing these broadcasts with others. So we've been talking about forgiveness, and we're on talking about forgiving ourselves. Last week we spent quite a bit of time talking about the basics of forgiving ourselves. So we're just going to move right into the practical how-tos, how to forgive ourselves. One of the things I've always looked for when I've heard teachings, when I've been involved in ministries or, you know, attended conferences, read a book, how practical, how objectively measurable is what I'm learning. God knows that we need to see results. He doesn't expect us to live on wishful thinking. And unfortunately, that's very often what is confused for faith. There's this idea out there that if we just do A, B, and C, someday we'll reap the benefits in heaven. And as long as that belief is there, we don't require much of our beliefs. If you or I went to work and at the end of the week, instead of getting paid, our boss said, well, when you're done with your job, when you're no longer working here, that's when you'll be paid. We wouldn't continue to work there, would we? We need results now. And when we are willing to put in the work for it, we reap those rewards now. Part of the fallacy of the working for rewards in heaven idea is that heaven is what's next. When you die, you go to heaven. We could go through how we came up with that idea, but generally, just as a reminder, you right now, you are spiritually, you are completely with God right now. You are seated in Him and with Him, and He in you. So we're not looking for a someday experience to be with Him or to receive our rewards. we all have our own idea about what those rewards are going to be as well. But what we want to constantly remind ourselves is that God is practical. God is real, and God is teaching and training each one of us individually. And it's not that he assigns someone, a guardian angel, for instance, to teach and train you. He is doing it himself. That's how big he is. Because he is available to your soul through your spirit. And he is controlling every circumstance in your life. You go, well, then why did he let me do this and this? I don't know. But I bet he'd like to talk to you about it. We all have so many questions, and we think that someday in the sweet by and by we'll have them answered. There's no sweet by and by. It's the sweet now and now. That information, that access to God is available 24/7 right now. And that's where God is calling us. He's making us able to receive everything he has for us, which is everything. Knowing God is eternal life. And once you taste him, once you experience that personal relationship with him, it changes you and spoils you for this world. And hopefully for putting off till tomorrow what God wants to do today. He has healing for you. He has freedom and joy and peace and rest and excitement and challenges and failures and successes and highs and lows and answers and patience. And there are times when he says, we're not going to talk about that right now. And there are times when he's going to download the whole truth about something. But that's the difference between our God and all other gods, is our God is real. And if he's real, he wants to have a relationship with us now. And we can. So forgiveness, forgiving ourselves, is so critical to that process. Because what it does is it frees us to be ourselves with him. And if we hold grudges against ourselves and are vulnerable to the enemy in our past, that's a weight around us. It keeps us from entering into the future as with authority, as rulers, and keeps us from living in the present. Your past, present, and future are summed up in your spirit. We think that eternal life is just more of the same thing we have here, or better, or, you know, something different, but related to what we have here. And eternal life is just a description of the character of God, the nature of God. And spiritually speaking, in your spirit, you have already received eternal life. You are eternal life in your spirit. That's what you're made of. So forgiving ourselves and learning to live as forgiven frees us to live accepting and receiving every opportunity God places before us with boldness. Learning how to ride a bike and not being afraid to fall because we'll just get back up. Nobody's going to yell at you. You're not going to lose your reward. You're not going to miss out on God's blessing. Oh, if you don't do this right, He's going to hold it against you. He's going to withhold what He was going to give you if you had done it right. You're cooperating with Him. So this is not like it's you against God or you're trying to measure up to God. God on one side of the playing field keeping score and you're trying to win the game or do your best so that He'll give you a good grade or a good score or you'll be able to move on to the next thing. Now He's on the field and He grabs you as the play is going on, and He works with you. And when you get sacked, He laughs, and He helps you up, and He pats you on the back and says, let's go, do it again. He doesn't laugh at you, He laughs with you. Because this is, God has got a much better sense of humor than we give Him credit for. I mean, just look at us. He's invested Himself in this creation, in what He's doing here. And He has chosen to show Himself through us. And that, to me, that just proves He's got a sense of humor. You know, He doesn't do it with lights and power and, you know, one thought and we'd all be gone. No, he expresses Himself through us and to us. I think it's the challenge that He enjoys. That, and we've talked many times about the definition of grace is just being able to receive unconditionally what God gives unconditionally and just saying thanks. And that's the difference between us and Adam and Eve. They could not appreciate their relationship with God because they'd always had it. And they didn't have to do anything for it. It's true across the board. We don't appreciate what we don't work for. What costs us nothing. So this is one of the reasons God challenges us. He hides His treasure so that we will search it out now. So we will appreciate what we find. It's not because we're on the wrong track or that we're not supposed to go there. Or that we could be deceived. It's so we will appreciate it because we will have sought it out. We will have worked to dig out the buried treasure. So as we learn to forgive ourselves, it sets us free to live as spirit beings. We're so hard on ourselves. One thing to remember, guilt and condemnation do not come from God. We've got three other enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil, and we've all got those guilt and condemnation buttons. And I think they just take turns pushing them. We're learning to, we'll probably still have the buttons, but they'll be disconnected. The circuit breaker will have flipped. So they can try all they want, and they will, because that's worked in the past and that's all they've got. Your enemies will continue to try what's worked in the past. And we may even react, oops, somebody hit my button, oh well, and go on. So even when you forgive yourself in an area, if it continues to come up, don't think, oh, I did it wrong. That wasn't really God that released me from that. No, your enemies will continue to try those buttons. And we have a caller today. So, area code 647. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi, how can I help you today?
Hi. I just thought I'd join your conversation.
And who am I speaking with?
Steph from
Hi,
Toronto.
Hi, Steph. From where?
Toronto.
Toronto, welcome.
Thank you.
We're talking about forgiving ourselves. Do you have any thoughts on that or questions?
I think that's a fabulous topic, actually.
Great.
If I can say a couple things. We are in a situation right now where we think that we have a choice.
Uh-huh.
And from my observation, I can almost guarantee that what we're living in is only half. If this coming of this Messiah is real, then obviously he would be coming in the day that he would be able to live, and he would be able to be happy. And I would assume that him coming down, which is like behold descending, that we are in hell first, so that he can get rid of it, you know, like first and foremost, but deceive us so that we would not know that we were actually living through the evil. Now, really what that is just creating a bunch of stories and nightmares and evil beings and things that are, invincible, things that can be destroyed. So he would have probably, if there is an afterlife, then why wouldn't he make us so fearful of dying that it would make us, you know, do everything in our power to live a life, you know, that would be fulfilled up until the day that we die, and then having no spirit, that we would be here in the living hell, knowing that there is, you know, the chance of having a better place to go, but still being okay in where it is we are. But then also with all these things that are feeding into our reality, that we have manifested these fears, and then we found some way of blaming it on some character named the devil, and then have our flesh take the toll, you know, which is, you know, the blockages, which is, you know, worry, which is, you know, all these evils, you know, that kind of, you know, are forced upon us because we're only in a moment and we're reactive beings. But, you know, I think that we're in, you know, the hell based on choice, thinking that we're in the garden, you know, with this whole idea of good and evil, when I really think that we are completed in one side of the picture, and that the Garden of Eden is now here, and that we're to really just destroy everything by adding the spirit. So God would, you know, separate from the flesh, you know, taking on the balancing act of what it is that's going on, so that when we finally understand the Word of God and understand how the kingdom is working, and that this is our heaven that we're going to rebuild together, that we will then become reborn, which is killing, you know, which is the flesh, getting rid of the flesh, all the worries, all the strife, and it's because of the spirit of the all-knowing will give us this guidance. So that I think that we have to stop blaming, you know, sort of these things that are in control of us, rather than being the warrior and saying, well, you know what, these things are here to strengthen me, create this hell, so when we walk into heaven, you know, it's glorious, but you know what, still, it's not going to be like this whole big transition where we die and go to this weird heaven that we have no clue about, but that God has given us a right to be a part of, you know, this growth and this rebuilding, and that he has given each person a beautiful and wonderful, you know, portion of himself so that we can all come together as a family. And that, you know, these stories that have been given to them were really just misinterpretations of, you know, this, you know, ages and ages in between that were misinterpreted. They had no idea what it was. So throughout time, obviously, God had made it so that we would lose the conception.
Well, let me interrupt you. You're throwing quite a few concepts out there. And basically what you're saying is that we're basing a lot of our actions now on misconceptions.
Right.
Is that, and I would
fed
completely,
by the law of attraction.
Well,
you know, like
let me finish. And basically I would thoroughly agree with you, because I think our basic misconception is that so much of our stories that we're believing, for instance, about heaven and hell, are misconceptions.
Mm-hmm.
And that we think I think we really need to remind ourselves that when Jesus descended, he took hell captivity, and
right.
It is no longer a threat.
Right.
And likewise, when he ascended, he filled heaven. And our idea of heaven and hell are not at all based on reality.
Right.
And that heaven is not related to us.
Well, they're combined.
Let me finish. So that our focus is not on the different aspects of the story. The distractions that we face are not about what we don't believe. It's about what our relationship with God is now.
Right.
It's supporting and fulfilling his purpose, which is very personal.
Yes. And that's the thing.
Know what we're talking about here. The purposes of God are to bring us, to give us healing, bring us into healing, to reveal himself so that we would know him, and so that he would be able to remove our flesh, and through that receive that healing. Those are the three chords.
Mm-hmm.
Now he assigns us projects,
mm-hmm.
and that's what we're here on this earth for.
Right.
And anything that's going on the earth is simply related to projects.
Right.
So I would kind of take
what you're
saying, well, the garden's done.
No.
Yes, the garden's done. There's nowhere, for instance, a lot of people base this all on the scriptures. There's no place in the scriptures where we're said we're going to go back. Right?
It hasn't even started yet.
Well, that's your story. That's your perception. And if that's...
And God is allowing us to see the reality of our garden and grow it together so that there's no misconceptions. That's why we have this technology and we have media so we can actually connect ourselves to each other.
If that is what God is revealing to you, to draw him into greater dependence on him, that's between you and him. Okay? We all have our own approaches and what God is revealing to us. If what you believe is drawing you into greater dependence on him, that's great. That doesn't mean it's true. That doesn't mean, and most of us have varying degrees.
100% true.
Okay, then thank you for calling. Did you have a question or?
No, I just think that it's a great theory to have people that are constantly searching for answers, and that we're all, you know, in a world that is completely evil, and that we're all warriors.
Right. But that's
all,
the thing
like,
is,
trying to get victorious.
If you don't let me finish, I'm going to have to mute you.
Ask me who I am, and then you might be able to, you know.
Well, no, listen.
The
whole purpose, though, is of theories is when we don't, is to test them, okay? A theory can be tested, and what we're doing is if that theory, when you test it, brings you into greater dependence for you, that's great. And if that's 100% truth for you,
I don't believe
that's
that
great.
At all.
Well,
you
that's okay.
Test
you can,
something that
you that's
don't
okay.
know until you have been given the right to know, and that is just through the faith. God doesn't want
no,
you
we've
to
all,
challenge yourself.
Let me ask you, can I ask you something? I'm
going to
have to mute you. Okay, you gotta let me talk.
Can't mute Jesus.
Well, thank you for calling. We're going to go ahead and continue on with our discussion. Thank you for calling from Ontario. We've been talking about forgiving ourselves. And as we do that, as we were talking about, it's about what you are learning. Is it bringing you into greater relationship with God? We all have our concepts and our theories, and very often we build them to suit our own temperament, to suit our own purpose. So in the process of forgiving ourselves, we not only learn about ourselves, we learn about who God is, and we learn about how he works, and we learn about the misbeliefs we have. And any time we think, this is 100% true, we're blocking new revelation. We're blocking God. We're saying he's already given us, even if it's in an area, all he's ever going to give us. And since we know he's eternally creative, we already know that that's not true. We don't know what we don't know. So that's why it's not going to be based on, do we believe the right thing? That God is going to bless us. And this is why we need to get away from theories. It's because God wants us to objectively be able to test what we are being taught, what we're hearing, who he is. His desire is that we experience him now. Not that we just learn about him now and try to get through and endure till some other thing. But so that as we know him more, he frees us more. And we experience more and more that freedom and understanding from not necessarily knowledge, not greater understanding. I suspect that what we've been holding on to is such a small pittance of the reality, but it's all we've got. We've been talking about how when you look around and you look with your natural eyes, and you see, this is my reality. And you go instead, this is not reality at all. As the Lord enlivens your soulical senses, let alone what's going on in the spirit. Just as when you were learning to walk, the couch seemed like a monumental task. Going upstairs, we all had a long way to learn, but now it's effortless. We've changed. The stairs haven't changed. The couch hasn't changed. We've changed. We've grown. We've strengthened. Our senses have strengthened. So we look for objective reality, reject objective standards, test. Can we see how we're doing now? If a theory can't be tested, it's useless. It's like, I love the stories about how the earth began, the Big Bang. Well, they can't test it. So as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't even qualify as a theory. If you can't test what you're learning now, it's time to move on to something else. So we'll pick it up here next Tuesday on forgiving ourselves. In the meantime, ask the Lord to be bringing to the surface any area that he wants to show you where you have already forgiven yourself, but you need to experience that freeing from him himself. So I'll be getting back together with you Thursday morning at 7:30. Thanks for tuning in. This is Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Have a great day.